Would you pray with me? Holy Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are the one who strengthens us and redeems us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It was Palm Sunday. But because of a sore throat, 5-year-old Annie stayed home from church with her mother. And when the rest of the family returned home, they were carrying palm fronds. And Annie asked them what they were for. And they said people held them over Jesus' head as he rode by on a colt, her father explained. Wouldn't you know it, Annie fussed. The one Sunday I'm sick and Jesus shows up and offers pony rides. You know, Palm Sunday is about an announcement. Pure and simple. But like Annie, we often get the wrong idea about what the announcement really is about. As I've said before, scholars have recently, or now not so recently, talked about the fact that really in that day, the day that Jesus had his Palm Sunday ride into Jerusalem, there were two parades going on. On the one side of town, Pilate rode into town with all of the military trappings and the military to keep the peace during Passover. On the other side, Jesus rode into Jerusalem as a peasant king riding a colt, seeking to remind people about the prophecy of the Messiah riding into the city. It was an announcement of his messiahship. Now, something else I want you to realize, too, especially about the Luke reading. This account is not the crowds of people who will later shout, "Crucify him." This is a crowd of his disciples, not just the 12 apostles, but a lot of people were following him besides the 12. He had collected them over his several years of ministry. In fact, scholars have pointed out that the crowd on Palm Sunday in all four of the Gospels was not the crowd that would shout, "Crucify him." Now, I want us to take a look at another Isaiah passage, a different one than the one Tom read. His was the Hebrew Scripture reading for Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday. This is Isaiah 59, the second half of 15 to verse 20. And this is the Good News translation of that passage. "The Lord has seen this, and he is displeased there is no justice. He is astonished to see there is no one to help the oppressed. So he will use his own power to rescue them and to win the victory. He will wear justice like a coat of armor and saving power like a helmet. He will clothe himself with a strong desire to set things right and to punish and avenge the wrongs that people suffer. He will punish his enemies according to what they have done, even those who live in distant lands. From east to west, everyone will fear him and his great power. He will come like rushing river, like a strong wind. The Lord says to his people, 'I will come to Jerusalem to defend you and to save all of you that turn from your sins.'" Now, this is from Isaiah, written to probably just after the exile. This passage is not talking about Christ's coming, but of another person. But we can imagine that God had the same thought prior to the coming of Christ. As Simeon said to Mary at the naming service of Jesus, This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that we will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. Jesus would expose injustice. Jesus would expose the wars. Jesus would expose the hypocrisy of his time. And Jesus did this through his teaching and through his actions. And in doing so, he thought that people would see and recognize him for who he was. And that his way was the way, the truth, and the life, as he says in the Gospel of John. But most do not see it. So on that first Palm Sunday, Jesus decided to pull out all the stops and openly declare who he was for all to see. He was fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. He was declaring that he was the one who came in the name of the Lord, the Messiah. But then, there was Monday. So many of us have experienced Sundays and Mondays. I remember, this is going way back, the spring and fall when Barbara and I graduated from seminary. They had a celebration that morning. Our graduation was on Sunday. They had a celebration that morning at the church that we worked at as seminarians together, Strathmore Presbyterian Church. And during the worship service, to the surprise of Barbara and I, they gave us our robes. And then that afternoon, we graduated with our families there. It was a big celebration. And then that August, we started working together as co-pastors at our first church and all the excitement that engenders. And then beginning of September, that fall, we went back to Indiana and to Chicago, 1 week apart, and were ordained by our presbyteries. And then in October, we were installed in our church. Boom, boom, boom. A lot of Sundays. That was one big Sunday. And then, when they were all over, it was the feeling that Monday had hit. There was nothing really special to look forward to anymore, at least for a while. I mean, I think if we're all honest with ourselves, when those wonderful things happen, we kind of get into it. And it's hard when they stop happening. Now, I don't think Jesus despaired after the triumphal entry on Monday. But I think there was in him this understanding that the people still didn't get it. The poet Edwin Poteet wrote a poem, Palm Sunday and Monday. They pluck their branches and hail him as king early on Sunday. They spread their garments, hosannas they sing early on Sunday. But where is the noise of their hurrying feet, the crown they would offer, the scepter, the seed? The king wanders hungry, forgot in the street, early on Monday. The people didn't get it. And in doing so, in their own way, they kind of rejected the king offered in Jesus riding in on a donkey, or a colt, as our passage today says. A colt. A noble animal, donkey too, that a king rode on when they came in peace But a king rode a horse into battle. And you know, the people never saw Jesus riding a horse. And yet that's the king they were looking for. To remove the Roman oppression, that king would have to ride a horse. And I sometimes feel that for people today, the king has to ride a horse, as it were, for us to believe. Are we people of Sunday, or are we people of Monday? Now, there have been several things lately that have caused me to reflect on this. I've been involved with several conversations recently where one person has said, well, several persons have said at different times, that the reason people are not going to church today is because they really don't believe in God. They would never tell you that, but they simply don't have any faith or need in God. More than one person has said it's because of affluence. Now, you may not feel affluent, but when you look at yourself compared with a lot of other places in the world, we are affluent. Even the poorest people in our country can be considered affluent by people in some parts of the world. And when people are affluent, it's so easy to think, there's no need for God. I can take care of myself. I said to you, when I went to Kenya back in 06, one of the things that struck me was that the church was growing there because the people needed the church. They needed the fellowship, the community of the church, as well as God. They saw God working through that fellowship and that community. Because if something happened to them when they went hungry, as many of them did, the church was the one who supported them in their difficult time. And yesterday, there was a report on CNN.com that 23.1% of respondents to a long-running general survey said that they do not believe in God. 23.1%. Now, in that survey, 23% identified as Catholic, and 22.5% identified as evangelical. We mainline Protestants are way down here. So more people are not believing in God than there are Catholics or evangelicals. And is this trend because people are not seeing God ride a horse, as it were? Deep down, do we believe in a God who rides a colt? Have we changed because of the revealed Christ? Has it made any difference, or do we prefer to be people of Monday? Still looking for Christ. Still the Christ who will save us. The Christ who will lift us out of our doldrums. The Christ who will make everything right. Now, some of you might say, hey, Tom, we're here, aren't we? Yeah, you're right. And I recognize, I'm preaching to the choir. But I think we often have to ask these questions of ourselves. Maybe another way to ask it, why am I here? Do I believe, or is it because of habit? To accept Christ on the donkey, or the colt, and the Christ risen from the cross, we must be willing to be changed, become new people. We must be willing to give more than lip service. We have to be willing to give life service. People ask, why should I believe? I think we're all afraid of that question when people ask us. What can we tell them? Can we speak of a Jesus who has reached out and touched our hearts and saved us? Can we speak of a Jesus who's guided us through the minefields of our lives? We have to be able to do that. You know, back when I did my doctorate of ministry program, that was the question that we were talking about, as some of you will remember. Helping people to figure out how God had been a part of their lives, to develop a narrative of their faith in God. And then to talk about whether or not that would help them or enable them to talk about their faith with other people. To be able to answer the question, why do I believe? And if there are enough people that want to do it, I'll be willing to do that whole thing again. That's what the Christ who rode on the donkey demands of us. To speak up for justice, speak up for the truth. To shout out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Christ doesn't need Monday people. People who do not see Christ riding on a horse. People who think that he's not the God they were looking for. And if you think about it, isn't that what upset Annie? That she didn't see a street fair Jesus offering pony rides?